Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Here's a story from Marla Hockman.
I am a pet sitter, dog walker. I've been doing this for quite some time. I've never had any issues with any animals attacking or running away or escaping. And I've been working with a family for quite some time in Boca Raton. They have two dogs and one cat. The dogs are Lenny and Charlie. Charlie is big. He's about 50 pounds and he's all black. And he loves to eat. He's very round. He's a big love. Every time I come in the house, he always runs into the owner's closet and comes running back with a shoe. And he's very friendly and loving. And Lenny is a mix, and his face is all gray, and he's very sweet as well. The cat thinks that she is a dog. Rosie is black and white, playful. She jumps on the dogs. She is not afraid of them. She likes to be right in the mix with them. Very loving. She'll walk up against you, rub her body against your legs. But she is an escape artist. And every time the dogs want to go outside, she wants to go outside. She likes to be part of the group. And it can be very frustrating. And I have to calculate and maneuver my way around the house to keep the cat from escaping. They have a French door and a sliding glass door that leads out to their backyard. And I have to, every time I go in, unlock both doors, let the dogs out one of the doors before the cat comes running up and close the door very quickly. And then I try to sneak out to be with the dogs. It's a big, nice, fenced-in yard with a pool right on a main road, where I have to run to the other side of the house to the sliding glass door to open up the door to let the dogs in before the cat comes running across the living room and sees me. And when I'm outside, I'm always peeking in the windows looking for the cat to see where the cat is, so I know which door I have to come in. One time, the family was away for a week, and the dogs got out. And when I was coming back to let them back into the house, I didn't see the cat sitting in the window. And I opened up the door, and out she went. And I was petrified and so scared that this cat was going to be gone forever and something was going to happen and I was going to be fired and the family was going to be so angry and so upset with me that I let the cat out and that they would never see their cat again. I did text them while this was happening, and they contacted their son, and their son was going to come over and help me look for Rosie, but Rosie ended up coming home before their son got there. I ended up getting cans of cat food and opening up the cans. And I'm thinking to myself, while I'm doing this, every cat in the neighborhood is going to come to me except for Rosie. And she was gone for almost 45 minutes. And it was the longest 45 minutes of my entire life. And finally, she came hopping over the wall. And I opened up the door, and she just went walking in like it was nothing. And I closed the door. My heart was beating out of my chest. I was so thankful and frustrated that she got out, but so happy that she was back. And she ate her food. The family was very happy when I texted them a picture. The next time I monitor both doors, I have to unlock both doors so I can come in and out of both sides depending where Rosie is. And sometimes I even have to walk outside through the back gate and come in through the garage to make sure that Rosie does not escape.
Marla Hockman with a story about almost losing a cat.
Well, I don't know about almost losing a cat.
Although I could just imagine her dread she had seeing that cat leave the property.
And that is exactly what makes the story so great. We are there with Marla. Anybody who has owned a, well, we don't own cats. Anybody who has lived with a cat and tried to keep that cat indoors knows the terror, the heartache, the guilt. And if it's somebody else's cat that you let out, and if you do this professionally and you're really good at what you do and you're really conscientious, we can see from this story how conscientious Marla is and how she always does the right thing. But those little sneaky cats are always going to get you if they possibly can.
I could see her going to the pet store trying to find a cat exactly like a cat that ran out.
You know, there's a joke like that where somebody's dog supposedly dies in the baggage area of a plane, and so the pilot wants to replace the dog with a dog he saw that looks exactly like that dog. And he says, oh, the man will never notice. And the man says, this isn't my dog. Well, how do you know? Because my dog was dead. That has nothing to do with what we're talking about here exactly.
It's not a good pet story either.
Marla did all the right things, but these things happen. And Marla expressed in her storytelling so beautifully with words like petrified, expressions like the longest 45 days, minutes, felt like days, the longest 45 minutes of my life, my heart beating out of my chest, as horrible as it feels when you love the cat. When you are responsible for somebody else's cat, you feel that much worse. And of course, this is something about stories. The listener to the story, for example, if you're hearing a story of a near-death experience and the person is telling you the story, you know there's a happy ending, right? But the person at that moment has no idea. And Marla, as a professional pet sitter, is not going to tell a story on the air about the pet she actually lost. We know she found this pet, but still we're in the moment with her, and that's the beauty of storytelling. We know most stories that we hear that somebody recounts, or at least a lot of them have happy endings. This story, far from being a story about somebody who lost a pet, is really a story about somebody who is so responsible and so conscientious that one little mistake, and look, things happen, and you just have to have the wherewithal to deal with them.
I suppose I would have tried to find the cat or hide it, but the fact that she told the owners right away is quite admirable.
I think so too, and I think she wasn't telling that in the story to sound admirable. This is what her instinct was. And I think that this says a whole lot about the storyteller. She's just telling you details of I did this and this happened and then this happened, but we know that how we might behave in that situation. And some of us might wait a little bit longer to let the owner know. I was smiling when she said she sent a picture of the cat, because you know those movies about kidnapping where they have the person hold up the picture of the newspaper of that day to show that it isn't just any picture of the kidnapped person, it's the actual date that it happened. And I was thinking of, I was picturing in my head the cat holding up the clock saying, I'm back and it's today, or the newspaper, or something like that.
Well, the cat was so nonchalant. The cat wasn't even, didn't think she was missing.
The cat didn't know anything was wrong. The cat thinks she's a dog. And this is as much a story about cats and dogs as it is about responsible pet sitters. It reminds me of when I took acting lessons years ago, being told that you never want to be on stage with a child or an animal. because they are unpredictable. And people's eyes are always going to go to the child or the animal because people, actors on stage, theoretically know just what they're doing. And so there's so many elements of this story that Marla was juggling in a deceptively simple story because on one hand, the cat could have stolen the story from her, but really Marla was very much in control with her controlled voice, with how she flat out says, this is how I felt, but this is what I did, and this is what I'm going to do from now on. So I'll tell you, I would trust my pet with Marla Hochman anytime.
Well, thanks for bringing that story in, Karen. Is there a storytelling event this evening?
Actually, there is a slam, Vox the Storytelling Slam. No cover charge. You can tell a 5-minute personal story. And that is at FAU's Glades Road campus, 777 Glades Road tonight, the Living Room Theater Cafe. And then next Thursday, October 4th, I will be appearing at the Delray Library on Atlantic Avenue at 2 p.m., Delray Beach Library, telling stories from my book, Florida Lore, stories about weird Florida. So if you want information about either of those things or anything else going on in the storytelling world, email me at cneile, that's C-N-E-I-L-E, at fau.edu.
Our website also has archived stories and contact information, wlrn.org, click radio, and the Public Storyteller. Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller returns next Sunday.